This morning, I'll be speaking on two separate passages, actually. In your bulletins, there's only one, which is Matthew 6, 24 through 34. I'll also be speaking from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19 as well. I know some of you guys like to put a bookmark in there before we get started, so that's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Before I get started with my sermon, I'd like to thank everybody here in our congregation for their help, support, and prayers for our mission as we traveled to Daytona Beach that last week of June. I was able to bring three students with me and two other adults, so we had a total group of six. We were a small but powerful group, without a doubt, and we all came back changed from that trip. I know our youth as well as our adults were able to view the world through another lens, and it was incredibly powerful week. And I thank you all for helping make that week possible for our youth and for our chaperones, because I know they all truly appreciated it. And none of them are in service this morning, but as you see them in the upcoming weeks, I would highly suggest ask them about the trip if you have not yet. It was an amazing trip, and I'm sure all of them would love to share about it. And also, I do have a board up here. It's on the floor right now, but we can put it up after service with different pictures from our mission trip. So you guys can come and take a look and see the different activities that we did. We worked in several different places, whether it be working with the homeless community in a food pantry or a soup kitchen, or it be with at-risk kids in recreational facilities, or just working at a school for pregnant teenage moms, as far as building up the campus of that school and helping feed encouragement into the kids there. So I'm sure all of you guys are wondering from this title, what could possibly be this other 90? Well, I'm speaking on something that's often not spoke about, and that's tithing. But we're not exactly going to be focusing on the 10% that we're supposed to give to the church. And so most, if not everybody in here, understands the tradition of giving 10% of your income to the church for the church to do what the church needs to do. Now, this isn't going to be our focus today, but instead we're going to focus on what to do with the other 90%. Should we be able to take that for ourselves and use it as we please, or is this something that we should be giving to others out of this 90%, or should we be giving to others out of this 10% that we're supposed to be sharing with the church? How does all this kind of work? We're just going to go ahead and dive right into the scripture here, starting with our beginning passage of Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 34. Says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and our heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So there's a lot to digest in this passage, and it's pretty lengthy. But just based off the surface of it, I feel that it's challenging and yet uplifting here. And that's because we can look at it one of two ways. We can look at it with a worrisome attitude, concerned of how we may need to adjust our lifestyle, how we may need to change things around to fit this passage properly. Or we can look at this with a sense of encouragement. And we can look at this with this encouragement because it's reminding us that God takes care of us and that God is with us in everything that we do, whether it be big or small and whether it be near or far. Our Lord takes care of us. I mean, I want you guys to listen to the words of the scripture again. I'm going to reread it because I feel that it's really important. It says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you?" Hearing these words and how God views us should give a warmth to your heart, should remind you that you're always surrounded by God's love wherever you may go, and that your wealth doesn't come from your money or your objects, but your wealth comes from our Lord and from doing God's work and from helping God's children. And hearing these words should help you be able to fully trust in God, because once you can fully trust in God, when you hear these words, the sky will be the limit of what you can do, because you will be a fearless disciple of God, ready to act wherever and whenever you may be needed. And this is where that other 90% comes into play. You have your 10% that you give to the church. And this helps the church keep the lights on. It helps the church pay the employees. Thank you. It helps the church do all sorts of different things and give back to the community, help bring in new members. And do you want to know what that makes that 10%? That makes that 10% what the church can do and how the church can fill out God's will. And that leaves that other 90% what you can do for God's will. And when you have that trust in God and you feel this call to act financially in a situation to help others or to make an impact on those around you, you won't worry about what happens to that money once it's gone. Because you'll realize that the price of that money is minute to the price you're paying of being able to reach out and help others. And you won't worry about it because you're doing God's will and because you're trusting in God. And sometimes in wanting to do an act of financial service to a person, to a family, to a community, we get caught up in how that's going to affect us. And in making those actions, we're thinking long-term here. We're thinking, okay, if I sacrifice this, how's that going to affect me? How am I going to have to change this? How is it going to hurt me 3 weeks, a month, month and a half, 2 months, 6 months down the road? How is this going to affect me? But the author in Matthew addresses that. And he says in verse 34 here, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And here we see in this verse how God is explaining to us, take it day by day. Take it one step at a time. And trust in me, your Lord, that I will take care of you just as I have taken care of the birds of the field and the flowers of the ground. And to some of you, this may seem fearful and this may seem scary. And that's plenty okay. Because nobody said that being a Christian was easy. And to be frank, it's probably one of the hardest things that we ever try and do in our lives. And especially in a world that is so focused around objects and materials and habits that are against God, it's harder now than it was ever. And because of that, it's so easy to be inherently and unintentionally selfish with our blessings. And I make sure to call them blessings here because in one way or another, God has allowed us the avenue to be able to take in what we currently have. Everything that we have is a blessing. And the question here is, how are we able to not be selfish with our blessings? How are we able to be so generous? How are we able to fulfill God's will that God has for us? And here's where we jump into 1 Timothy, because 1 Timothy addresses just that. And that's in chapter 6, verses 17 through 19 here. It says, Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And here it's making it clear that if we put our trust in money, then we'll be plagued with worry and uncertainty. But if we put our trust in God, we'll find everything that we need for an enjoyable life, because we will be rich with good deeds and we will be willing to share. I want to make a note here. The scripture doesn't say that if you put your hope in God, then God merely provides for you. The scripture says that if you put your hope in God, that God richly provides for you everything that you need for enjoyment. There is nothing outside of that. Everything that you need for enjoyment, God supplies for you. And the ending of this passage goes on to say that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And other versions say the life that is truly good. Other interpretations of the scripture say the life that is truly good. And our mission trip actually had a theme for the week. And our theme for that week was the good life. And what is the good life? And throughout the week, our students had a morning devotional time of about 30 minutes where they were able to sit by themselves and they were able to read through a section of this little booklet that they received on the first night that would help guide them in the questions and the pondering and the answers of what is the good life? What truly is the good life? And during our mission trip, I got to see minds of our young grasshoppers here progress. And as we went about the trip, things changed. Because at the beginning of the week, they were asked a simple question. They were asked the question of, what is the good life? And as expected of any middle schooler, the good life is being a professional soccer player, being a professional athlete, having a really big house, having a really nice job where you really do no work but make a lot of money. And then some other answers were just along the general lines of being happy. I think the good life is being happy. That's awesome. But although as the week went on and our students were able to reach out to the community of Daytona Beach and they were able to pour their 90%, or in this case, 100%, because they were stuck on the mission trip and they had 100% whether they wanted to or not. But as they were able to pour this 100% into the community of Daytona Beach, things began to change. And at the end of the week, on the Friday morning that we left, the same question that was asked of them, what is the good life? And we received polar opposite answers. We received answers along the lines of, putting others before themselves. Answers including things like helping others, putting ourselves last, living the life that God wishes for us to live. And the thing here is that the Bible discusses how you cannot have two masters. And one cannot serve God and also serve money. And the Bible also talks about fully submitting to God and to have a strong relationship with God. We must turn over everything to God to be able to have that strong relationship. And if I turn over 10% of what I have to God and the church and keep the other 90% to do with as I will, am I truly trusting God with it all? And in these questions, I am by no means saying that you need to give 100% of your salary to the church. This is not a sales pitch for the church. I don't want you to give another dime to the church than you regularly do. That's not what this is about. This is about letting God guide you. And letting God be in control of your life. And trust that if God is directing you to make a major change in your life that may on paper hurt you, that if you trust in God, that won't be the case. Because for somebody who's not a Christian, they may not understand that downsizing in a house or getting a cheaper vehicle so that you have more money to be able to do God's will because God's calling you in a certain direction, other people may look at that as being crazy. God's looking at that as honorable. And if anything, that's an avenue to speak to them about Christ. Because now you're allowed the opportunity to say that God has guided me in this direction to change my life in this way or to do his work with my blessings. And now suddenly people are realizing that. And you're able to talk to them about it. You're able to encourage them to do the same. And I don't know what God is telling you to do. And I don't know how God is directing your life or your money or your habits or any of that. But what I do know is that if we trust God 100% of the time, and if we trust God with 100% of our life, our possessions, our family, our money, then we can't go down a wrong path. And that's as blatant and straightforward as it gets. Would you please pray with me? Father God, we just thank you again for such a beautiful morning, Lord, such a beautiful day. We ask that as we sit here this morning and we've taken in your word, Lord, that you help keep that at the front of our mind throughout this upcoming week, God. And that as we go about our daily activities, that we're reminded of the will that you wish for us to do, God. And that we may be encouraged and empowered by your love for us and your passion for us, God. And that because of that, we may feel invincible in doing all things that you wish us to do, God. And we ask that you empower us this upcoming week. You keep us encouraged. Just give us the time of day to get in your word, Lord, and just remind us that there's no life outside of you. And that the good life and the life truly worth living is life with you, God. And life helping others and life doing your work. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.